Rockauto.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
Hey, this is former WWE superstar Shawn Michaels.
This is the undisputed future of WWE, Seth Rollins.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment, Wrestle Talk Radio.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
Reed, we'd have invited you all to the show.
With your host, Tim Stein.
He's a sweet old man.
Heartbreak Mike.
This guy's a serious asshole.
The Omega.
He's a cyborg, you idiot.
And the producer, Sir Rocket.
He recorded every word you said.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device.
I don't have time for this bullshit.
Hey, this is Chris Jericho, the Ayatollah of rock and roll.
This is third generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Austin Aries, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you.
WTR Sunday Night.
Thank you for your cooperation. Good night.
Don't blame me, Dad. And the shit in your head that you come eat you like a virus for days on end. Watch you decay, watch you waste away. Who'd you think you'd fool, baby, digging your own. So go ahead, yet you're struck dead. And while you're trying to fool the whole world, don't forget that you're decay. Don't waste away.
And welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's been an eventful week, and it's been an eventful day. We had the Extreme Rules pay-per-view event. All of your reviews and opinions to come, and some big news. And I was trying to make an intro around it, but then I hit the word Cosmic Wasteland, and I went, no, I can't do this.
No, you can't do this.
There's no way to not force this.
Just for the record, I'm extremely tired. So let's get the show underway.
Fun. All right, so yes, I am the be-all, end-all of our network, the Omega. Joining me tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
Yo, what's up, everybody? Heartbreak Mike is here.
Excellent to hear. And so we can quickly get along, we'll go straight into the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I really, really thank you all very much for joining us here on the Extreme Rules Review Show. Was it official enough?
That'll do it.
You need more spirit, Tim.
More spirit?
More excitement. Bring some excitement to your voice. This was Extreme Rules.
Hang on a second. Okay, you ready?
I'm ready.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yes, it is extreme. And it's the Extreme Rules Review Show right here on WTR Sunday Night. Thank you for joining us. Better?
Yeah, so apparently you're the now the Miz. Oh, because you need two takes, like he does.
Two take Miz. So you picked up on that. Good, I'm really impressed.
Yeah, we're good. Good.
Yeah, well, you know, some people get married on Saturdays. What can you do?
Yes, they do. And lots of travel and not a lot of sleep. So...
Welcome to CB Radio, the post show.
Oh, God. Yes. So, anyway.
You last night.
So, we have a whole pay-per-view to get into, and we will get into it. But first, Tim, we have some breaking news that happened over the last 24 hours.
Yeah, you know, it was breaking about, 5 hours ago?
Well, we heard it. He made his comment yesterday, and that sort of made the spiral.
What the hell? And of course we had, oh, it's not official, so WWE confirms it. Okay, never mind that, you know, Cody is the one himself who announces it. It's gotta go through WWE first. What are we talking about? Cody Rhodes has asked for and has been granted officially his release from the WWE, ladies and gentlemen. That is the breaking news. You can blame Rock. Hashtag blame Rock on Twitter.
Hashtag blame Rock on Twitter. And since it's still on here because I really haven't changed anything from Thursday, I don't think you've ever heard it. Here you go.
Hashtag blame Rock.
Yeah! Fire!
The very creepy sounder.
very, very creepy. Very, very much.
So Cody Rhodes is no longer a part of WWE. He put out a statement on his official Twitter, and it was an interesting statement. What'd you guys say?
It was an interesting statement that did not surprise me in the least.
No.
It's like, gee, he didn't like being a shadow of his brother's gimmick? Wow, I had never thought.
Never ever thought that would be possible.
Surprise!
But beyond that, you can feel for his frustrations a little bit.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it'd be understandable. I mean, like, hey, Cody, we haven't got anything for you, and Vince and Triple H, they don't really want you to be, like, you know, chasing the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, so we're going to just put you in a suit, make you look like your brother, and we'll call you something dust.
Well, here's the thing. They did. Like, it's a built-in storyline when you make that gimmick that the change back can be just as interesting. You know, you could make it a psychosis. You could make it a struggle of, like, a former friend or his brother trying to, like, pull him back, like, to his senses. You know, and you could be doing things like that. And it's a very easy story to write. But that would have taken TV time.
You know,
TV time we need for the Golden Truth.
But no.
TV time we need for The Miz to be an absolute putz.
No, we had to devote time to the Shining Stars.
Oh, yes. We need the Shining Stars to get as much time as we want, because they're going to be huge. Because they're from Puerto Rico.
Well, they're big in that market. Big in that market.
Uh-huh. Let's wait for them to tour Puerto Rico, and we'll test that.
See just how big they are, and then get rid of them.
But they had this storyline. Like, okay, bring him back to Cody Rhodes. Make it interesting. They just didn't give a shit.
No.
It's like, we have something for you, but we're not gonna fucking do it.
Yeah, and
go put your paint on and go job out to Jack Swagger, you clown.
There you go, yeah, and I'm assuming you read his release statement, Omega.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you are able to read between the lines, there's a lot there that he said without actually coming straight out and saying it.
He's trying to be very professional about the manner, not burn the bridge too much.
But at the same time, he really dug into the creative, the two writers, the guy, the wannabe Brian Gerwitz.
Uh-huh.
And the other guy who will remain nameless, who was too busy chasing NXT divas. Kind of sort of raised an eyebrow at that one. I have to admit it.
That was amusing.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, did they drop the ball with Cody? I'd have to say yep.
Oh, tremendously.
Now, I was talking to Lindsay about this, and I'll throw this question to you guys. Some of the frustrations going on, do you think the locker room is kind of concerned about the current WWE champion? And does that play into part of the frustrations?
Well, from the booking perspective, let me just give you this much. As far as who's holding the main title, you want somebody that's going to get a reaction. End of story. You're not looking for a positive reaction. You're not looking for a negative reaction. You're looking for crowd noise. Problem is, that is very old-time thinking. Oh, we got to get a response. And, you know, the death of kayfabe has really put a huge crimp into that. Back before the curtain was thrust wide open for people to look into the back room, into the locker room, if you will, using, you know, metaphors here. When a guy came out that you absolutely hated, you let him know you absolutely hated him, and they were all like, okay, he's the bad dad guy, so we're going to write him as the bad dad guy. Nowadays, you absolutely hate him, but for different reasons. It's not looked at that way yet, and should be. I mean, people don't like Roman for various reasons. He was never built up. He has never gone through the Rocky Might Be a Rock stage that he obviously needed to go through, still needs to go through, to be accepted, because he's that type of talent. He's got a huge future ahead of him. He's going to be a major, massive star. The only problem is, his current run right now is buggering up his future, and he's not going to be able to get off the launching pad like The Rock did.
Well, The Rock had the privilege of having enough time to explore and tweak who he was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas Roman has pretty much been the same ever since he debuted in the WWE.
Yep.
It's the exact same character. Like, even John Cena, as tired of him as a lot of people are, he went through changes.
Yep.
You know, he's not the doctor of thugonomics anymore.
This is true. He's not the prototype anymore.
Well, OVW gimmick, but.
Yeah, okay, so I'm reaching a little bit, but.
To be fair, he's, Roman Reigns,
Roman Reigns is not the guy he was in FCW.
No.
So, at least he's involved,
He's not named Leaky anymore.
Thank God for that.
I know it's Leaky, but that's how it's spelled Leaky.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just problems galore currently with the perception of Roman Reigns. Call him Roman Cena if you want. Think about it. You'll get it.
Yeah. Doesn't take a whole lot of thought there.
Yeah. What did, who was it? I think it was, in Batman Begins or The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight, where Harvey Dent said, you either die a hero or you live to become the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Roman was the hero in The Shield when they debuted, and for, you know, what was it, a year and a half they all hung around before they broke up.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
They pushed him at the wrong time with the wrong wrestler opposite him that was the true fan favorite.
And he never got off to a good foot just because of that fact alone. Like,
yeah.
Because you have someone in the backstage telling you this is who the big fan favorite is when the fans are going, but no, we like Daniel.
This,
but
no,
like him.
This is our fan favorite, not him. This guy. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be hard for him to ever be accepted when it was, it's like the kid who hints 1,000 times what he wants for his birthday and still gets the fucking shirt and pants.
Mm-hmm.
And gets told, like, no, this is what you wanted. Now, smile and be happy. Don't make people upset. Like, we're basically going, pretend Roman is over so, you know, our writers in the back don't start crying in the corner.
Pretty much, yeah. So, Roman has survived to become the villain. And I'm not talking he survived to become a heel. He survived to become he's pretty much currently the most despised guy on the roster. Yeah, sure. We've got people who are Roman Reigns fans, and there's, you know, the Roman Empire is a lot smaller than they would have you believe. Tonight, during the main event, we had two chants going, Roman sucks, let's go Roman.
Well, there were more than that, but we'll get into that later.
Mm-hmm.
there's a lot more to that. We will get into that a little bit later on, but yeah. You know where I was going with that.
Yeah,
anyway.
I got you.
Yeah.
Here's a stat for you. It was revealed, a couple days ago. WWE's audience, their average age is 41. Back in the Attitude Era, the total audience they would have was 2.5 million kids. Wonder what the number is today? 500,000.
Oh.
And who are they catering to?
That 500,000.
As opposed to how many?
No, their total audience overall is, what, 4 million people?
Yep.
It boils down to 500,000 kids. Back in the Attitude Era, the non-PG era, it was around 2.5 million was the kids era.
So when they were doing stuff for the more grown-up crowd, the younger guys were watching it.
Right.
And now that they're doing stuff for the kids, it's too kid-friendly.
The thing is, kids watched it during the Attitude Era because it was cool.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, no, like, this is true.
Anything adults get away with, anything adults get to do or watch or listen to, and suddenly if you let a kid get to watch it, experience it, it's cool. That's just how it goes.
Now, we're just talking about what people saw on TV. At house shows, it was even raunchier. You'd have Triple H going out there with Shawn Michaels as DX. Triple H is on the top ropes, convincing women in the crowd to lift their shirts.
Mm-hmm. They were still trying to do that on TV. You just never saw it all the time.
Well, they didn't cut to the crowd, but it happened more at house shows.
Oh, I'll get it. Now, to circle the whole point back together, who was Roman Reigns geared towards?
the kids.
That 500,000 of them. Yep. Shows why the older people boo and they drown out the young minority audience.
Mm-hmm.
It's numbers. It's facts. It's, yeah, that explains the whole Roman Reigns thing in a nutshell.
Yeah, in quite a succinct nutshell.
So circling back to Cody Rhodes, where does he go next?
Well, he alluded in his statement that he'll try, maybe he'll try acting, and who knows, maybe he's already got an offer.
I think every wrestler states that just so people start booking him immediately, because he also said, you know, he is a wrestler, so that's what he's going to do. Yeah.
I could see him in New Japan.
Oh, easily.
Without blinking. New Japan before any other market out there.
New Japan really is the second place you want to go now.
Yep.
Especially now that they have their own stream service. It's definitely not ROH. It's definitely not TNA.
Mm-hmm. They just need a major, they just need to break into the North American market.
And they're starting to kind of with the show on Access, slowly getting there. But that content's a year behind, so it's hard to really get people invested with it. Even with because a lot of those people they're showing now on the TV are guys like AJ, the Bullet Club, who made their way to WWE.
You would think that'd actually be good marketing right now.
You would think. So what do you think, Omega?
No, New Japan's probably the best bet for Cody.
I can't see him going to Ring of Honor.
Oh, maybe for a special stint, but if he's going to wrestle long term, he'll go to Japan.
Yeah,
especially with one of those legacy names like Rhodes.
Yeah, I don't think he's dumb enough to go to TNA.
What, he's not going to join Ryborg in TNA?
Yeah.
Okay, we need to address that really quick. Ryborg.
You've got it.
Ryback tweeted as the pay-per-view started something to the effect. You want to feed me more during Extreme Rules if you want to see Ryborg in the Impact Zone.
Really?
Guy's such a fucking troll.
Yeah, well, Chris Jericho still has him beat.
That's the side of the Ryback that actually does entertain me when he's intentionally fucking with people.
And EC3 responded, "Oh shit." So it got someone's attention. Here's the thing, Ryback, as of now, is still under contract to WWE. We'll see, maybe not tomorrow. Who knows?
Well, you remember the first time Jericho left WWE, the very next day on his website?
He put the TNA logo up.
He put the TNA logo up, and he's doing, his stage pose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody started freaking out. Oh, he's going to TNA! No, he's not. He's trolling you. I don't think that the term troll in that context was actually around back then.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, it was.
That was a while ago.
Trolls have been around for a decade, Tim.
Well, this was 2005, I think it was. So.
No way. It hasn't been that long at all.
It has been, because I remember exactly where I was living when that happened.
When Jericho did leave the first time, it was 2005. And then came back in 07, I think.
Yep.
Still,
trolls with that Bon Jovi haircut.
Trolls have been around a long time, Tim, even beyond 2005.
Trolls have been around since the 1890s, but they weren't called trolls. They weren't always called trolls.
No, they're called assholes.
Speaking of trolls and assholes, we had the Dudley Boys on the pre-show. Transitions.
Here you go.
So they came out and talked about how, you know, you can't have Extreme Rules without the Dudleys, because, you know, they've been in more Extreme Rules matches than the Locker Room. And then Bubba was trying to get an ECW chant started, and they weren't as loud the first time. He got them again, and, well, then they healed on ECW, which was good. It was good.
It was a good heel promo.
Mm-hmm, they talked about how the new Air Stars are heading into the toilet like ECW was after they left. Dudleys are now above Extreme. Bubba asked Devon a question. Do you want to get out of New Jersey? And that's where...
Well, he set it up like he was asking for the tables.
Yeah. And we had Big Cass come out and rattled off a bunch of food that Bubba was eating and kept saying, "How you doing?"
And he ran out of, food ideas.
And then we had a fight with Big Cass and the Dudleys, and Big Cass ended up taking out both men and then called them both soft.
He spelled it out for him. S-A-W-F-T. Soft.
He did.
You are correct about that, Tim. He did spell it out.
I do like how he is the quieter of the team, but he is carrying it fairly well in Enzo's absence.
He's doing a damn good job while we're all waiting for Enzo to come back.
He's backstage tonight, so apparently he's not too far off.
So
they probably were checking him out tonight, so that's good.
Yeah.
We have Miz talking about how unfair his title match is tonight. No, Miz.
Only a 25% chance of retaining, and I disagree. It's more like closer to 35% chance of retaining, just because of his wife.
And then one of the better Twitter segments they've ever done was with Rusev and Lana.
Oh,
that was great. Oh my god.
You did not see this, Omega?
No, I had things going on during some of the early show, so some of it I did not get to catch.
You missed actual genuine funny from Rusev and Lana.
Yeah, you can't really describe it, you just gotta hear it. And that's sort of the thing with it. Their accents were just brilliant.
Well, yeah, and I said The Rock had that, what did I say? Lana's fake accent is better than Rusev's fake accent?
Uh-huh.
Because Rusev, he was breaking. His accent, he was slipping here and there. But Lana, she was in perfect accent mode entire time. No ask question.
His don't give a shit mode is awesome. It's the best way to describe it. He doesn't give a shit anymore and he just goes with it and it's awesome.
And we have three questions for you. We'll start with question three. No, we'll start with question one. Oh, no, go to three first.
And his mother already called to congratulate him. So that was
he called his mother, congratulated him after he called her.
Okay. And I do like how you tell me, well, no, you can't describe it. You really just have to listen to it. And then you describe it to me.
Oh, I know.
We're trying to. Let me tell you, we are not doing justice to this.
I don't care. Like, I'm one of those types where it's like, I want to hear it. I want to hear it for myself.
Okay. Well,
hear it for myself.
We would shut up, except we've got like 1,000 other people listening to us right now.
Just pluck your ears, Omega.
Okay, fine. take my headphones off. You talk.
No, we're good.
However you want.
We're good on this. So, let's tell you what was there next, because it was just there. Corbin and Ziggler. No DQ. It was there.
And it was, you know, a match. And what was your favorite description of the low blow, thanks to Mauro Ranallo?
Oh, what the hell was it? Uppercut.
Uppercut to the groin!
An uppercut to the plums of Ziggler's fruit basket.
Oh, that was a good line. Oh.
Fuck Ranallo.
That was good. Besides that, there was nothing to this match.
It was the same match they keep having.
Instead of doing the alley-oop powerbomb on the outside, they did it in the inside. Or attempted to.
It's like Corbin's contract says he can only wrestle Ziggler.
It might.
Because you thought the feud was done already on the Raw when not Corbin won, but nope, we're here again. And hopefully after the uppercut to the groin, or the plums, and the end of days, this might be it. For these two, with Corbin picking up the win, I hope.
There's no hope for this to continue. It's not a genuinely good feud.
So tomorrow night on Raw, it will be Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler because of the low blow, probably. Probably do it one more time.
And so that was the pre-show, essentially, because after that match, it was just the panel giving their predictions.
Oh, so there, before we move on into the main show, Corey Graves saw this imaginary match, Bray Wyatt and Roman Reigns. Like, one of the greatest matches he's ever seen, Bray Wyatt, Roman Reigns, Extreme Rules last year. Bray Wyatt didn't work Extreme Rules last year. And Roman fought Big Show in a Last Man Standing match.
I'm sorry, that was on my WWE 2K15 game.
That's where it was. I heard that, and I had to go back and rewind it and just make sure I heard that correctly. Oh, Corey Graves. Anyway, main show. And this one started out hot. It was the Usos in the club in a tornado match. Not Texas Tornado, just Tornado. But they did bring up it originally started in Texas, so Texas Tornado. This was good.
Yeah, this was a red hot opener.
They started out brawling in the aisle. They had really good intensity. You just went from bell to bell, really good action. And this matchup included a ring bell in the finish.
Ooh, That hurts. You land on that ring bell on the chest the way that Uso did.
That Uso.
I give up trying to figure out which one's which, for Christ's sake. Which one's Jimmy, which one's Jay?
There's a slight difference in their face, but I couldn't tell you which one has the slight difference.
Can we please color code them?
They sort of try to do that where one wears it on one side of the face.
I don't know. No.
That gets
One gets blue pants, one gets red pants.
We already had a blue pants.
Pants with a red top and a red top with blue and a red pants with a blue top.
No.
No?
One is red, the other is blue. Bottom line.
Or orange and yellow?
In a pinch, I will accept orange and yellow.
Okay.
But like, they can have, like, if they want the twin thing, they can still have the same design. The base color just needs to be different.
Because in the middle of a match, when they're flying around, it does get a little disorienting.
Well, typically when you're talking brother tag teams, especially twins, you would, like, the thing to do for, like, a heel team would be for them to dress alike so you can do, like, the Bella twin thing.
Mm-hmm.
And get them confused. But they're faces. They've been consistently faces.
But are they?
There's no genuine reason for them to actually, you know, dress exactly alike other than to be confusing.
And confusing it is. So which one was it that ticked the ring bell?
An Uso.
An Uso.
I didn't write down which one did.
It was Jay Uso. I mean, Jay is in the initial, not the name.
Yeah, so. There.
That doesn't help.
Jay period Uso took the shot from took the splash onto the bell. First it was super kick that stops the bell. Splash to the ring bell, then the magic killer for the win. This was an enjoyable opener.
It was a good opener. It was entertaining. Wasn't anything out of the ordinary, but it did warm up the crowd. And that's what your opener does for special events. It is there to warm up the crowd.
After Corbin and Ziggler try to put them to sleep, they woke them back up.
Well, I don't think that was intentional. It just happens.
Oh, I know.
Hey, it's the first time Ziggler's managed to put anyone to sleep.
True. Then we had the United States Championship, Kalisto and Rusev.
Yeah, of course, storyline earlier in the week, Kalisto was injured, got a owie, courtesy of Rusev.
And they found some weird body part to, you know, over-explain his injury. So just, he has busted ribs. He had some sort of weird injury.
Yeah, let's go with the most complex muscle name we can actually figure out. They'll say, he also ripped some back muscles. I'm like, that's amazing considering his back was being compressed, not stretched.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, hey?
If you want to tell me he ripped some abdominal muscles, I'll believe you.
That would have been the, you know, smarter way of going about it. But then again, you know, everybody's figuring, the people watching aren't that smart to figure that out. Well, we are.
You could have brought back the abdominal stretch too if you actually did that selling.
So, yeah.
Oh, they wanted the back injury for the finish.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess. But hey, we got the sleeper tonight. Pulled out a sleeper hold.
Did it work?
Kind of.
Yes and no.
It changed the course of the match, that's for sure. Because Rusev was in control. And then Kalisto would get the sleeper hold on, and then just he started running and just doing head scissor after head scissor. A nice one through the ropes that took him onto the steel steps. I thought that was good. Kalisto hit a moonsault, took out Rusev on the outside, and then Rusev launched Kalisto off the top rope onto the side of the ring, and then it's time to check on him. Is he okay? Is Kalisto okay? Rusev's getting all frustrated and wants him in the ring, tries to pull him, the referee keeps backing him up, the doctor checks on him, Rusev wants him more, and eventually, Rusev had enough, pulled Kalisto into the middle of the ring, and puts on the accolade and just pin him in half, as Kalisto tapped out.
Yeah, that looked like it fucking hurt.
Yeah, it really did, but it was good. I like this match. I thought it was a good match. What do you think?
Well, it didn't look like it really hurt to me because he's like on his knees, and so, you know, the hyperextension of the abdomen wasn't as pronounced as you were thinking it.
No, suspension of disbelief. It looked like it hurt.
Oh, sorry, I did not mean to point out how they did it. Bullshit.
Needless to say, Kalisto is very flexible, so it probably did not get hurt. But that was like a really painful looking accolade.
Which makes Rusev the new United States champion.
And I noticed the crowd really responded positively. Did and they? I think they responded positively just because of Lana.
She needs to put her hair back up.
You don't like it down?
Her look was better when it was up.
She looked more believably Russian, looking all prim and proper and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Not to be, you know, not to add to the stereotype, but I piled onto the stereotype.
Well done, Tim.
Thank you.
Which now means Rusev can go fight.
If you actually played that YouTube video.
Yep. John Cena.
Oh my god. Yeah, that, you know, I would have played into that more if Cena actually showed up.
He will be on Memorial Day.
Uh-huh.
That's not till next week.
Exactly. That's when the United States wins back its championship. It all makes sense.
Yeah. Rocky comes back to beat the Russian, or Bulgarian.
Russia-garian.
Thing, yeah.
Huh? Sure, why not? Let's go with that
we'll
one.
We'll go with that one. By the way, this is WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. You can interact with us at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, or just come to wildtalkradio.com and join us in our chat room, as many people are right now, as we get to the tag team title match.
Now, well, you know, as we talk about the tag team title match, why don't we just let everybody know that they still have time to vote for tonight's all-time greatest?
Yes, go to WrestleTalkRadio.com right now, and you can vote in the all-time greatest polls. There's two up right now. Scroll down a little bit, you'll see them. The buttons, click both of them, and you can vote. Voting ends, I guess, about 45 minutes to an hour. Whenever we're done, recapping Extreme Rules. But now, tag titles online, Vaudevillains, New Day. I was underwhelmed.
The promo before it was better.
Well, yeah.
The promo was awesome and so... this is TV-14. Let's not kid ourselves with the PG shit.
Tell us about the promo.
Okay, so Xavier is upset about his time machine being broken. And no, it was a refrigerator box.
No, it's a time machine.
It's a time machine. And Xavier is going, you know, oh, if you want to console me, my DMs on Twitter are open. If you want to send me pictures or videos or anything, if you think you'd cheer me up, and
he's trying really, really hard to get his DMs to blow up.
Yeah, well, with Kofi trying to talk some sense into him, and they go, "Let me shoot my shot," which the crowd lost it.
They
at
did.
That point.
They did.
And then Big E with a couple of tools on his shoulders,
yeah,
named English and Gotch, because it's the garden. It's the Garden State, and they're going to put a couple of hoes in the ground. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, you snuck that one in. That's a very,
well done.
Yeah.
Best way to put it.
Very, very subtly subversive.
Yeah.
It's one of those, dirty in your own mind, not in the context we're using it in, so we get away with it.
You gotta love double on. That was more like a triple entendre.
Yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Oh, hell yeah. But yeah, no, very, very entertaining promo. And goddamn you, New Day, how dare you make me appreciate the shit you do.
How dare they entertain you, oh, Tim?
Stop it, Tim.
That's just not right.
Just embrace it.
Then there's the match. It was okay. Wasn't anything special until the finish when Big E got tagged in. Because he worked over Woods for the majority of the beginning of it. Kofi was not in the match. He was on the outside this time.
This almost felt very swervish because Xavier usually takes pins when the New Day is going to lose. Like usually it is Kofi and Big E in the matches.
Yeah, so they hit the whirling dervish.
Dervish. They hit the whirling dervish. What? They have a skin condition?
Yes, dermatitis. Yes.
Yeah.
So they hit it. Should say they were setting up for Big E's dive spot. English blocked it, and that led to the Vaudevillians getting a very close two count. Big E would eventually hit his dive. Kofi hit Trouble in Paradise behind the referee's back.
Ref didn't see it!
He didn't see it! Out of nowhere. Running kick by Woods. New Day retain the tag team titles.
I did like the false finish.
Yeah, it was good. It was a believable false finish.
Yeah, because, like I said, I think, like Xavier does come kind of up, like, as number three on the team. Like, he is the talker, not the fighter.
Yeah. Yep.
But I don't think I don't recall anyone kicking out of the Dervish.
No, they haven't.
And he didn't even need help to do it. He just fucking no-sold it himself. I kind of bought into that false finish a bit. That was actually really good. Mm-hmm. Good on Xavier looking strong.
Kind of, you look at the finish and you go, where does this leave the Vaudevillians?
To tell you the truth,
on Superstars,
I hate to say it. I don't think they have much of a future on the main roster as is.
It's too much of a cartoon gimmick to stay serious. Yeah, it's hard. It's too hard to take them seriously.
I love them in NXT, but on the main roster, I don't want to say fails. It's not
connecting
main roster material.
Mm-hmm. We talked about it before. When it's a small audience and you kind of have, it's easy to get energy going through the building, then you can get enough support to actually make the gimmick work and to get people behind it. In a big crowd, those little pockets of energy just fade out.
Yep. And it's a totally different thing than the New Day gimmick, too.
Oh, yeah.
I was so down on New Day. And let's face it, when they first came out, it was shit. It really was.
It was.
But they slowly got better because they would slowly introduce shit that was entertaining. And then all of a sudden, everything is entertaining.
To be fair, we're talking shit on the Vaudevillian gimmick. And it's because, well, it's just not this, it's such a quirky gimmick. At least with the New Day, it was generic enough they could pretty much get away with anything.
Yep.
And when you hear Woods talk about it, they wanted to get to for it to really, really suck, and then they were able to do what they were able to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they built it in their minds.
And it worked.
It did.
Yep. I don't see much for the Vaudevillians, but I didn't see anything for the New Day. So let's give them the benefit of the doubt and just see if they can make something interesting out of it.
They need London to get behind them. Because whenever London gets behind you, you start to get over, except if you're Fandango.
Unless you're Fandango.
But with that, we're going to take a break, come back, and talk the rest of the show, Tim.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Roast Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. It's the Extreme Rules review episode. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back shortly. Out and about when your favorite WTR program is on the air. Don't worry, we've got you covered. You can listen to WTR on the go with TuneIn Radio. Just download the TuneIn Radio app for your Android or iPhone, iPad or tablet, and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. Best of all, it's free. What are you waiting for? Download the TuneIn Radio app today. Tune in to WTR, wherever you are.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Oh,
that's right. Oh, the show was just recently. It was this past Sunday. It's a plug into a segue.
Hey, wait. Give me a minute. I got another call. Give me a minute. I'll be right back.
Really?
Come on, now.
Man. Tell us how you really feel, Rob.
Like, if I was driving right now, I'd probably wreck into a tree. Everybody just stop what they're doing, and we'll just have to wait.
Los Matadores versus the real American.
I'm going with that. Never mind, sorry. We're not making it.
I seen him too in action, and I was like all excited. Oh, that's so funny.
Not that I didn't expect that.
No.
Somehow.
No. As luck would have it, I believe Los Matadores won.
Yep, and see, if I'd seen him face a couple of Mexican guys on main event, and they were pretty good, I would have picked them if I had seen them. I would have. They were Tito Santanas. That's what they were. They're the new Tito Santanas.
New tweet posted live on CB Radio. Subway picking an event that already happened. Let's see how he does. Can't be worse.
But I mean, that pick, I was going to make picks I've already made picks on. I bet you my picks would have been different, too.
All right. The team of titles on the line. AJ Lee versus Brie Bella. Who do you pick?
Oh, I picked Brie Bella. I do remember that.
You do? You do? Brie Bella lost the match with Ace and Rob picked three. Sub, you picked AJ Lee.
Oh, my God. Get the fuck out.
I believe you changed your hands, The Rock. Oh, shit. Well, that's one for me, because I'm sticking to my original pick. Jay was completely in the garbage. Thank you,
I told you, I'm my own worst enemy.
He coming. Just like, bump my HP up to, like, almost full health now.
Tune in to CB Radio, Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time. On the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
I didn't just make headlines last night. I turned the WWE Universe upside down.
To the shocking moments.
The last time you and I together, we were in Brooklyn on Monday Night Raw with me, you, Rusev. Remember that? That was an amazing night. And then remember, you came to my hotel room and surprised me that night. Yeah, that was crazy. Remember that? And you told me you didn't want to be with Rusev anymore. You said he was big, he was hairy, he smelled like rotten testicles. And we did those special exercises. You showed me how to do the one-legged Russian vacuum. Yes! Remember I showed you how to do the Wisconsin wheelbarrow? Hey, we were just talking about you, kinda. You guys still together? I heard you broke up.
We're actually engaged to be married.
You engaged to be married? Mazel! That's fantastic news! You got a hell of a woman here. She's flexible as all hell. Whoa! I mean, it's amazing!
And the moments that leave you speechless.
My name is Bo, and I'm here to say Flo Rida's disrespectful in a major way. You sucker punched my friend in WrestleMania 28, but I'd be upset too if I was named after this awful stain.
Oh, you got fired!
You need to channel your negativity in a more productive manner. You hold an ace high, but I have a full house. Like, my name is Danny Tanner.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Can't catch a WTR program live? Well, we've got three easy ways for you to listen whenever you want. First, listen to the Wild Talk Radio Network on iTunes. Just head over to iTunes and search for Wild Talk Radio Network and subscribe to our feed. Secondly, download the Stitcher Radio app and search for Wild Talk Radio Network. And finally, just visit the archive section right here at wildtalkradio.com, and you can download every single episode of all your favorite programs. Best of all, it's free. Keep up to date and spread the word to your friends on how you can be part of the Wild Talk Radio Network listening experience.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get.
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Welcome back, WTR, Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Don't forget, everybody, a little bit later on, winners of WTR's Extreme Rules Pick'em Contest. And I am not going to tell you who just yet, but I will say somebody went a perfect 8-0.
Ooh, plus we have an announcement about next week's show later on as well.
We do?
Yeah, we do.
Oh. Did I know this?
I've explained this to you. I showed you the thing, what we're doing next week.
Did I give the okay?
I don't care if you gave the okay. We're doing it next week on the show.
That's not the answer you're supposed to give, but yeah. Anyway, stay tuned for that. It could be a little bit of fun. You never know.
You never know. We're experimenting starting next week.
Yeah. Another WTR experiment. Oh yeah, those always go over well, Rock.
But Anyway, what went well tonight was the fatal four-way for the Intercontinental Championship, and it was Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, The Miz, and Cesaro, and they had a hell of a match, and Omega, it started right off with a Helluva kick.
Such a great way to start. I would have laughed so hard if he just pinned Owens and won it right there, and no one stopped him because they were too damn shocked to do anything.
It's like, wait, what happened? What?
The fuck was...
That would have been funny.
We would have lost what was a really good match, but we would still be laughing over it too.
And then in turn, Mike, we had the uppercut to The Miz.
Like it was a perfect domino effect. It was like bell rings, ding ding ding, whee! Helluva kick. Wait, did that just really happen? Yes. Guess what, Miz? What? European uppercut. And then the match that everyone actually got to see. Sami Zayn versus Cesaro. Jesus Christ.
You put those two in the ring together, I will pay to see it anytime.
But the good thing about it is that they have so much psychology. They have really good psychology.
Yeah, they really do. And they this whole match told a really, really good story. You had Zayn and Cesaro, as Mike mentioned, for a while. Miz, we get back into it, and everyone comes going, where's Kevin? Kevin? He's still alive? We need to get the smelling salts? Is he still awake with us?
It was like, oh my gosh! Oh my goodness! It's these indie wrestlers! And The Miz.
The afterthought.
Indie movie star The Miz.
WWE Films movie star The Miz.
Not a movie star.
Star The Miz. The Miz.
So, Owens finally eventually would come back, breaking up the Tower of Doom spot.
Owens, once again.
Fuck you, I want my spot!
Owens, fuck your big spot!
But see, I love Owens because he's very comfortable with Cesaro, I almost called him Claudio, and Zayn. Because all their fights in the past, not past WWE. Know your homework, children. They've wrestled in the past. And just seeing them, it's like, to me, it's just like, well, hell, most of them are best friends, but it's like really good friends just being dicks to each other. It's like, no, fuck you. I want this spot. But no, let's do this way. That, to me, that's just who Kevin Owens is.
You're lying. Yeah, it's just two really good friends being dicks to each other.
Okay.
One of the better spots in the match was the exploder suplex by Cesaro.
Jesus.
Oh my god.
That was power.
Anybody who appreciates wrestling knows that that was like one of the spots of the night.
So we then had Uppercut City, for a while.
I was getting dizzy.
You're getting dizzy?
He's going around the ring with those damn things.
Yeah. No. Dizzy was The Miz. That came later.
That came later.
Okay, yeah. Point. point.
So there was a sharpshooter attempt by Cesaro on the Miz. He's tapping, but Maurice has the referee distracted. And then Miz was crawling to the ropes. Cesaro was yanking him up. And you want to talk about a good spot. Owens went to the top rope. Does the frog splash, a six star frog splash. But it's the way Cesaro positioned it, he would hit Miz's knees, not actually Miz's chest.
Yeah.
And that was great. This was all around really, really good match. Lots of false finishes toward the end. You really thought for a second, could Sammy do it? Is Sammy gonna do it? And you just saw the frustration start to build with Sami Zayn.
And there was a few times where I felt like any one of them could have won.
Oh yeah. They all had a chance. You see it, and you see Kevin Owens get frustrated, Sammy get frustrated, Cesaro, Miz, everyone's getting frustrated. And then, once you know it, Sammy and Kevin, they started to fight again. More like Sammy destroyed Owens for a change.
Well, Sammy went Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
Fuck this life. Shit, everyone dies now.
Fuck spots!
CUNY Owens.
Jesus.
And the Miz eventually ends up stealing the win and retaining.
Yeah, Miz spent the last about 5 to 7 minutes of the match just sneaking pinfalls off everyone else's finishers. Because the skull-crushing finale wasn't doing shit tonight.
But the Huluva kick.
The Huluva kick put people into comas.
Well, I stood corrected when I said it. This is WWE logic. It was just like, the spear when it was Reigns versus Styles at what was that last pay-per-view? I forgot. Doesn't matter anyway. It was like, how are you gonna get three super phenomenal elbows, but then it's like it takes a spear to destroy someone.
Don't worry, we'll revisit this.
Jesus H. Christ.
The show was Payback.
Thank you.
Yeah, you don't have to reference Payback. We're going to talk about it here in about 15 minutes.
We'll get there. We'll get to that one. Overall, Tim, this was a good match. Really good.
Quite enjoyable. Four really, really, really well-loved superstars in that. Well, okay, three really well-loved superstars in that. And The Miz.
Well, I can say, and
one American in the match, by the way.
Exactly.
Oh, that includes the girl on the outside.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, what I can say,
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mike, but yeah, you brought it up. There's only one American in the match. Three people in that match, involved in that match, were Canadians.
This was your Canadian moment of the night.
I thought Cesaro was Swiss.
Jeez. But what I was going to say, the one thing that I liked about this match was, and Tim, I think you can actually understand this, the fact that whenever they were doing spots, and if they knew something was bad, they managed to cover it up. And they managed to maneuver it differently. Like that frog splash, that was very, and I loved it, it was very innovative. It was like, oh shit, I'm going to break his knees. Or he's going to kill me or something. And for them to actually maneuver it and make it look like something else, it was gold. And just the chemistry between them four, that's money. And make it so bad that I believe that's candidate for like one of the matches of the year, and it was match of the night to me.
Well, I wouldn't say match of the year, but that's your opinion.
Candidate. I didn't say it was the. Okay. No, it's a candidate.
It's on the ballot.
It's on the ballot for now. Apparently, Canadian Moment of Night presented by Tim Hortons and the Moose, Canadian's majestic animal, but apparently it's the beaver, not the moose.
Yeah, the national animal for Canada is actually a beaver. This is true. It is. Canada's a national animal is a beaver. And this country is famous for its beaver.
Yeah.
You see, you guys went there. I was talking about the animal.
I didn't go anywhere because I knew it was low-hanging fruit.
I typed it. I didn't say it.
Like Zickler's plums from the back.
Anyway, moving on. This is
No. After Corbin, there was nothing low-hanging about those. Those were up in his esophagus.
Truth.
Tim, you have a question in the chat room.
I'm just totally ignoring what you typed, by the way, Rock.
I know. Chat room, you have a chat room question.
Are two beavers better than one? Okay, there's a joke in there that I'm
go watch How I Met Your Mother and you'll get the joke on that one.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Miz is still your Intercontinental Champion.
Boo. Surprised? No.
No.
Total Divas. Fuck you.
You know, I can't wait till they cancel that show.
You should never hope for them to cancel that show, Tim.
Why is that?
Because the Rack actually Total Divas on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, because Lindsay's out of show.
Missing content on the network, Tim. Anyway, time for the Asylum match thing. It was a thing, I guess.
It was a thing.
Jericho.
It was definitely a thing.
Jericho and Ambrose.
There were big holy fuck no way moment.
There were moments.
In the middle of this match.
There were moments. There was a lot of climbing. A lot of slow climbing.
We got introduced to Mitch Jr.
But did we?
I thought Mitch was the one thing that didn't get used.
That's the only thing
he wasn't. He wasn't.
He survived. Mitch Jr. survived. Everything else? Yeah. We had a mop to the ear.
We had a Perry Saturn reference.
Because of Moppy.
We did have a quiet Moppy chant in the crowd.
Yeah.
We didn't quite catch on steam, but some people were trying.
We had nunchucks versus Barbie.
You know, Dean starts swinging the nunchucks around.
Uh-huh.
You know, and all I can think is, this pay-per-view is sponsored by the Ninja Turtle movie, and no one's calling this out!
No, the announcers were too busy calling them numchucks instead of nunchucks.
They're idiots. PG. We know this. But I'm like, hey, they're paying money... they're paying money for you to mention them on the show. Here's the tie-in. Here's the perfect thing. Is anyone going to mention it? Is anyone going to make any kind? No.
Nope.
Michael Cole's... Did the hand up your ass just, like, puppet anything into your mouth? No. We make the Vegeta reference at WrestleMania. We can't make a Ninja Turtle reference when Ninja Turtles is sponsoring the show. Okay.
And to make matters worse, he pronounced Vegeta so fucked up.
Oh, you know that was just fed to him.
I understand that.
You know, Xavier just wrote it down on a cocktail napkin, just handed it to him, and he goes, Vegeta.
I can see that.
Yeah,
say this. Just say it.
I'm surprised he didn't say, you know, they're characters from Dragon Balls.
He could have in the first attempt when he was reversing it.
I would not have been shocked at all.
It would not have been surprising.
The nunchucks won, by the way, the battle between him and between the Barbie and the nunchucks.
And there's Dean, like, wheeling the nunchucks like he knows how to use them, and I'm like, uh-oh.
There's one point where he kind of messed up, but you could tell he's practiced.
He practiced a little bit. We had the Singapore cane. We had the strap. Again, more grabbing of the weapons very slowly. We had the straitjacket involved.
This part of me was like really waiting for Ambrose to just start whipping it with the straps hanging off that.
We then built up to a big spot where he did the diving elbow off the top of the cage. One of the big stories of the match was Chris Jericho was trying to leave multiple times. The idea is there is no escape from this torture.
There's no leaving. Get back in there. Get
back in this cage. You can't go anywhere. So get to the end. Build it up. We climb to the cage. Pull down a bucket. He was sitting next to Moppy.
Talking. What are you going to do with a plastic bucket?
I figured out. Well, there's water inside. You know, it was with the mop.
So you got. Nuh-uh.
Got grungy water. Oh
nope.
No! Oh no!
This
it's
was
grungy. It was grungy.
Yeah.
What was inside, Tim?
Thumbtacks.
Not gummy bears.
Nope.
Not gummy bears.
Oh, gummy bears. Probably wanted gummy bears.
I'm sure Jericho wanted gummy bears.
So, I know someone screenshotted and did a meme to his face. I'm just saying.
Oh, his face was amazing.
That rape face. Wait, you're going to put that where?
The utter, like, the horror on Jericho's face.
Brilliant.
So... they did a lot of nice teases of going to the tax.
Several. It was just really impressive as hell.
It got tiring towards the last couple, but it was really nice.
Well, they built it up to the point where you're actually like, all right, somebody just for somebody else on the tax already.
Let's get it over with.
Come on! Let's
do it already.
And they did, and they're like, holy fuck, they did.
But before they did, they even did the fire extinguisher to the face, and then the co-breaker two count. And then, we used the barbed wire 2x4 to the back of Dean Ambrose for a little while. And then we made our way back to the tacks. Guess he was going for the co-breaker, and Dean just shoved them into the thumbtacks. And you realize the reason why Chris Jericho wore jeans was because of the tacks. And then Dirty Deeds, 1, 2, 3, your winner is Dean Ambrose, and then Chris Jericho was selling the tacks, more like screaming in pain, because, oh my god, there's a bunch of thumbtacks.
Pretty sure that wasn't selling.
Thumbtacks in my back, and in his elbow.
Elbows where it looks like it hurts.
Really,
there's
really
thumbtacks
does.
In his hands.
Yeah, you know, Omega's right. I was gonna say, you know, the one thing you don't have to sell is getting thumbtacked.
Yeah.
Believe me, I know.
That'll do it for you.
So wait, was this Jericho's, like, first type of match involving thumbtacks?
Oh, hell no.
I didn't think so, because if that was the case, I was like, Jericho, you're kind of rusty fella.
Well, he hasn't done them for a long time, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have a lot of respect for anyone who, who's willing to take the tack spot without any kind of, like, shirt or protective wear.
Oh, thank you, Omega.
There is one thing that I did get a kick out of, courtesy JBL at the announce table. Not only did we get a Terry Funk reference tonight, but it was in conjunction with not knowing when to quit.
Mm-hmm. Man.
I just kind of sort of choked on my Coke when that happened.
Nothing, it was really good. And just like Omega said, it's huge respect for anybody that will take the spot.
Taking the spot.
Yes, I have. And you know what? It doesn't feel good.
No.
Yeah, no shit. But
thought it'd be like instant trip to the acupuncture.
Yeah, bullshit. One.
It'd be hysterical if someone takes the tack spot and it does hit just like an acupuncture needle and they just get up from the spot going, I feel amazing!
Bullshit, you take that wrong, when you take that wrong tack out, oh fuck. But, yeah, the match was good. First ever Asylum match, pretty solid.
You know that we're gonna get another Asylum match, sometime this year.
Maybe not sometime this year because they says like, oh no, this could only happen at Extreme Rules. But it's been a long time since anyone has had a signature match, you know?
Special stipulation besides, you know.
Yeah, like, you know, oh yeah, like Kane is the only one who can call for like Inferno matches. Undertaker and maybe Kane, the only ones who can call for Buried Alive or Casket.
That's right.
Like, it's been a long time since anyone had, this is my match. Because I'm the only bastard crazy enough to want to do this.
Ooh, and it worked. When was the last time we had a stretcher match?
We've had ambulance matches.
Yeah, we've had ambulance matches. There's one with Van Damme. Was in a stretcher match a few years ago.
Cena's been in a few.
Cena and Ryback, I do believe, was the most recent.
Yes, it was.
When they tried pushing Ryback and making him believable as a threat to the world title.
You gotta cross the line.
No, you had to push him up the finish line.
So, there you go. Dean Ambrose is your winner. Do we get one more out of these two? Or do you think we're done with that?
That should have been the denouement.
Why would you continue it? Like, why would you push beyond this and go, well, what do we do now? Well, it's not Extreme Rules next week. I guess we just do what? Submission match. Like, no. You don't break out a brand new match. You don't break out, like, a super violent version of a cage match with no escape and go, let's do something else.
Well, it's Jericho, though. Jericho? Then again, I do see where he's going with that. Like, to the point of, yeah, okay. Jericho can say that he's done it all now. Hey, guess what? First ever Asylum match. Click, click, done. I'm good for the summer. About to go to my tour. Thanks, guys.
Jericho has done his job with Dean Ambrose. And his job with Dean Ambrose was to get Dean Ambrose as over as he could get him. And this was the defining match for that series between the two. As far as I'm concerned, Jericho has done with Ambrose in, what, 5 matches, what Triple H did in 1.
Yeah. So, we then move on. Submission match, Charlotte and Natalya. It was alright for a while. Trading submissions back and forth. We're countering some stuff.
Now this one I did not get to see because my network was utter shit during this match.
Rage.
You can tell Natty has been training with Cesaro with some of the suplexes she's been throwing.
Oh yeah.
By the way, please, your God Cole, learn the difference between a belly-to-back suplex and a German suplex.
Never.
I know he's never going to do it, but it's getting on my nerves.
I know. So, this match was going alright. It never really got into second gear, like we know the girls can go. Sharpshooters applied. Charlotte tap out. We then hear a woo. Everyone's looking. It's Rick. It's Rick. Here comes Rick. Here comes Rick. Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah, it's not Rick. I have to admit, I initially thought it was Charles Robinson.
So did I. That's who I thought it was going to be. I really thought it was going to be Lil Nage.
That would have been good.
But instead, it was Dana Brooke. Dana Brooke comes down, causes Natty's all distracted. Now she's screaming, "Why are you distracted by Dana Brooke? Focus on the championship." But she's more concerned with Dana. And, Charlotte would take advantage. Figure eight locked in. Natalya taps out. Charlotte retains. And, you go from there.
Sydney decided to, do this match. The thing never got out of second gear. And it was disappointing because I was looking forward to it. Just with everything that has gone on with these two since WrestleMania, you would have expected a bigger deal. Finish match.
Yeah.
Not to drop names or make you guys think that I'm a huge mark, but Bret Hart in a submission match, you'd have him lock in his opponent for a good 5 minutes struggling. I mean, okay, WrestleMania 13, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah. but in any, just, you don't even have to name drop Bret Hart, but in any good submission match, you get the babyface who is struggling to get to the ropes. She would crawl and just fight and just sort of, you'd really get behind it. Mm-hmm. You never got that moment in this match to really sell it.
It's
and the one crawling more to the ropes was the champion and shouldn't have been.
It's kind of a bygone era when, you know, you actually sold a submission for a long time and you had someone who was just not, was willing to put up with that much pain. You know, these days it's just, well, Maybe I stay 10 seconds before tapping out, but that's about as much effort as it's going to take.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it does get really disappointing. Because you really want to see someone who can just gut through it and bear with it and just take whatever gets dished out to them. Especially in a submission match, you would expect that especially. And instead, what we got was this really overbooked finish.
I want everybody to answer this question. Instead of having them finish the match the way they did with the distraction, would you have more bought Charlotte having Natty in the figure eight for a longer period of time and instead of tapping out, Natty passes out?
Yes,
I know you're replaying Stone Cold, but that was like, you know, 20 years ago.
But they do the pass out finish often.
Yeah, they just did the pass out finish.
Not too long ago, they did the pass out finish.
With who?
I can't remember, but
I know I just saw it, but I can't remember where it was from.
But here's the thing, they do it often. You've seen it. You've seen the pass out.
What am I talking about? It's fucking Bayley.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. With Bayley
and
Asuka.
Just did it with Bayley.
Bayley and Asuka takeover. Yeah.
That was NXT. That was not WWE.
Fuck off.
Same company. It's the same company.
It's different.
But it's on the same network.
Same network, Tim.
Still different things. There are a lot of people who aren't watching.
Shut up!
That do watch WWE. And I'm sorry to bring that up, guys, but you gotta get out of your little molds.
But, okay.
But Tim, they do the finish often.
Point, okay. Let's forget that whole point. Let's forget, you know, how this match finished. It's like, oh, well, the distraction finished. What strikes me is that in the Divas division, she does not fit the type of heel that they really want her to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's been going out there and winning all of her big matches because Rick's helping out. And now she goes, you know, now, oh, no, Rick can't interfere. If he even walks down the aisle, then you lose your belt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then she still gets a distraction as a win. It's the kind of wormy heel tactics that you would expect out of, like on a Seth Rollins, when he's not the biggest guy, when he is not, you know, by appearances, the toughest guy on the roster, that works. Charlotte in her division is, you know, for her size, for her pedigree, she should not be that type of heel.
No, she shouldn't be the wormy one. She should be the dirty one.
Yeah, she's the daughter of Flair.
Exactly.
Let her play dirty to win her matches instead of constantly getting help. It makes her look really, really weak.
Exactly.
That all said, I do like the pairing of Dana Brooke and Charlotte.
Yeah, it has potential to be very interesting.
Dana's too hype.
Dana doesn't know what she's doing unless she has a blonde partner.
Wow. You're not lying.
That was almost mean.
There's nothing mean about it.
I said almost.
It's almost like...
But no, aligning with having Dana Brooke align with Charlotte brings Becky back into the picture a little bit, because she can now work with Natty as well to go in this feud. So
it's also going to be a good way of hiding Dana and her shortcomings.
Because for all things you could say about Dana Brooke, she was doing a great job managing Emma in NXT.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they made a great duo, which is why that they brought her up.
Yeah.
Now the duo's gone.
That is the Blame Brent of the week.
No, Blame Brent of the week was Sasha. Because apparently Sasha's out with a concussion because a referee kneed her in the head.
An accidental one.
Are you serious?
That's what happened. They had a six diva tag match at a house show. There was some spot where just by freak accident, the ref's knee just came up too hard, hit Sasha clean in the head, concussed her.
Blame the intern.
Fuck you.
Look at getting on board.
Fuck you, Brent. Fuck you, Brent. of all the people that injured, god damn it.
You injured the wrong one, dummy.
So, Charlotte's still your women's champion. No real surprise on that one. Brings us to the main event. Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Extreme Rules. AJ gets introduced. Big cheers!
Huge pop!
And then we're just waiting. You just hear this boo. Like, they're just sitting there waiting for him and they're just booing. And then he comes out and it's a monster boo.
Boo.
He didn't even do anything.
They were so booing that it was felt B-E-W.
Oh, Brent. Trust me, we can blame you for Sasha. In fact...
Hashtag blame Brent.
There you go.
Brent, uh-huh.
There you go. On that one. This was a really...
I'm just waiting for it.
This was a really, really good match.
This is surprisingly good. Like, I don't know what. Maybe it's just, like... Because between tag matches and the Rumble... They've just had time to get to know each other in the ring.
Yeah.
But they do have this weird chemistry that actually makes Roman look a lot better.
Yeah.
AJ makes him look good.
AJ was taking a beating for all of our sins tonight.
Exactly.
So, there was one spot, AJ, they were pulling apart the announce tables. AJ leaps up onto the barricade and runs across one announce table, and Roman Reigns backdrops him over the, I guess, German onto the American table.
But that was a Spanish table.
Was it? Oh, okay.
Yeah. American table's in the middle. Yeah.
Another pay-per-view where the Spanish announce table does not get destroyed.
The far...
hell.
They ran across the foreign announce table into the American announce table. And so everyone goes, oh my god, that happened, and then the crowd chants, you still suck.
You still suck!
That was great.
And we also got the You Can't Wrestle chant.
Yeah, You Can't Wrestle chant. He pulled out the Razor Edge Powerbomb, which was...
It was a sit-out Razor's Edge.
Yeah. Sit-out Razor's Edge Powerbomb.
Call it for what it really is.
What?
Crucifix.
Okay, it's a sit-out Crucifix Powerbomb.
Yes.
We can't say Crucifix, PG.
I mean, you know, we can honor every other legend, but we can't honor Razor Ramon. Okay. All right. Call a Crucifix. Please, Tim.
Yeah. You know what? Natty was locking on the score in Deathlock tonight. Fuck you, Tim.
Stop.
It's only the Razor.
Actually, Sting did it first, so fuck off.
It's only the Razor's Edge when it's performed by Razor Ramon.
Okay. He did the Edge.
Yes.
The Edge sit out Edge powerbomb.
Crucifix.
So what was the back body drop? The Christian?
Stop.
Only when Christian does it. Pay attention.
Only when Christian does it.
Wow.
Why wasn't, with a name like Christian, why wasn't he doing the crucifix?
Yeah, you know, that's a damn good question. Why didn't we bring that up 10 years ago?
I know.
Because logic.
Right, Omega?
Oh, shit.
I'm prettier.
So, back into the match itself. There was a point where AJ took out the leg of Roman, started working him over. Then we go to the outside, and AJ gets swung into the side of the ring. The very expensive ring signage on the side of the ring. Then into the barricade. And then again, he's being paid for our sins as he gets aggressively powerbombed through the German announce table?
Yes.
And what sucked about that one was it was delayed break.
I think that's the one Cole said was the Spanish announce table.
That's what he said, and that's what I wrote down. I wrote down
okay,
Spanish.
Because I remember when they were opening up the show, they went to the German announce team first, and the camera panned to the left, which meant it was the table to Cole's right.
Okay.
So it would have been the far table that was the German, the center one that was American, and then the near one that was Spanish.
By the way, we now have something called Announcers Row with all the foreign announce teams.
Which always ends on Funaki giving the one line he's given for 20 years.
And speaking about the Japanese announce table, can somebody please cue them properly and tell them don't start talking until after they've finished being introduced? Every time. Not that I understand Japanese or anything, but Jesus. Tell me I'm wrong!
So, anyway, the delayed break on the table looked painful a little bit. Roman Reigns then goes through the barricade. AJ brings him into the ring. A lot more fun spots. We have a spear on the outside. And then the club decides to save their boy, as it were. They hit one of their finishes on Roman. Kicks out two.
Please stop calling it the Boot of Doom.
Is that what they call it?
Well, they called it Magic Killer, which is the old original name, and then someone went, you can't call it Killer. And then the next week it was the Boot of Doom, and then someone said, that's really stupid. So the next week it was back to Magic Killer.
Yeah.
And then it said, no, we can't. Okay, let's go. Just go stupid rather than offensive. So now it's permanently Boot of Doom.
No, they
it's a stupid way, fucking name.
No, they called it Magic Killer earlier.
By the way, yeah. Big ups to JBL when he called out the Lariat.
Well, if anyone knows a Lariat, it would be JBL.
Oh, yeah.
Lariato! Good job, JBL. Good job.
Then we had a super kick party with the Usos.
Counted five. Where was the counter?
Count five in like 30 seconds. AJ would kick out at two. It was just overall really good stuff. We then have the Styles Clash. After the club got taken out, the Usos got taken out. Styles Clash, Roman Reigns kicks out two. Superman punch attempt, no. Pele kick. And then we go for the Styles Clash on a two. One of the Usos, not sure if it was red or blue, one of them...
It was blue.
Was blue.
Uso player one, Uso player two.
Whichever one it was, distracted AJ for a second, allowed Roman to kick out two. Then AJ went all rage with the chairs to everybody.
AJ just lost his shit.
He did. He really did.
That was great.
Eventually he sets up for the phenomenal forearm, gets hit with the spear. 1, 2, 3, Roman Reigns retains the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And that was the show.
Or was it?
No, it wasn't! Wait. I told you, I brought it up last week.
We want to talk the match before we talk the big ending.
We just had the big ending, the spear. Let's talk about the match, Omega. Forget those two. There's nothing else happened. What?
Yeah, they went to credits.
They did. So what do you think, Omega?
Like I said, it's a surprisingly good match. These two have a really good chemistry together, and I feel like something about AJ forces Roman to up his game a lot.
AJ Styles is a big match player.
Mm-hmm. AJ Styles is that good a wrestler, he makes anybody look good.
He's not even looking good because, you know, he sells well. It's just, it felt like Roman knew that he had to push himself to make
himself look good.
Well, there's a certain level that AJ was setting that Roman had to push himself to.
Mm-hmm.
So that, it just made for a surprisingly good match. Though I still call it bullshit on the ending. It was like, Styles clash, 1, 2, no. Styles clash on the steel chair, 1, 2, no. Okay. AJ goes ballistic. Has all the crowd heat behind him in the world. Oh, that spear, 1, 2, 3, is done.
It's the mighty, mighty spear.
Yeah, it's supposed to be sold that the spear is that devastating.
Goldberg's spear wasn't that devastating. And his actually looked like he broke people's ribs with it.
Well, it did a couple of times.
Roman looks like he's hugging people to the ground.
Give me a hug! Thank you for the victory!
It's like a really aggressive Care Bear. why do you think he's got his logo right in his chest?
I was just about to say his outfit's not that far off.
Like at WrestleMania, he's gonna break out a Care Bear stare to finish somebody off. It's gonna be amazing.
Please stop. Because if he uses the bear hug, I'm going to find you and just rage.
Rage.
That Roman Reigns using the bear hug. Fuck you, Omega.
Nasty.
Alright, time to review who won Pick'em, Tim.
I don't think so.
Wait, something happened? What?
Something happened.
What happened?
The match. And I told you, where's this goddamn theme music?
I'm not giving you theme music, so what happened?
You're mean. It's the undisputed future of the WWE, Seth Rollins.
No longer blonde, Seth Rollins.
Thank Jesus.
He had three tips that were still blonde.
Were there three still? Three? Okay.
Kids, it was the biggest fucking pop of the night.
It's like people knew he was there or something.
You know, it's not like we had a We Want Rollins chant at some point or anything.
No.
Didn't hear one. Nope.
There was.
God, you just duck, the wheels are going to hit you.
But, yeah, this was expected. Crowd popped huge for it. Pedigree. Roman is laid out. Bam. Holds up the belt. Place goes nuts. Seth Rollins is back.
New Can't gear. Wait till tomorrow. Yay!
Yeah.
He doesn't show up tomorrow. Somebody gonna be pissed.
They hooked you. They gave you a tease. They hooked you. Now he comes back for Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, 2Count in the chat room is asking, so does that mean Seth wins Money in the Bank?
No.
No.
He's been there, he's done that. The answer is nah. He's coming back to reclaim what's rightfully his that he had to surrender. It'll happen.
That's main event at Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Easy.
Yeah. Never lost that title. He's next in line immediately.
And you have to do that match now before either one gets hurt.
Yes.
Because the two times they've been scheduled to go on pay-per-view, they both got hurt.
Yep.
So, bubble wrap them for 4 weeks, and then do the match.
What you do is you just let Seth come up, cut promo after promo after promo, and Roman fuck off until the match.
That's it.
Just one month of Usos versus J&J Security.
Oh, God, that would hurt.
Be entertaining.
If they did it right, it might be, but I don't see that happening. I'm sorry. But, yeah.
Can't wait for tomorrow.
I'll be watching, I think.
You think?
Yeah, probably.
Probably. It's a thing.
Yeah, I think I'll be watching.
And you hear all about it on the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern.
Cool. So, yeah, I think it's time now just to take a look at what happened for WTR's Extreme Rules Pick'em. Congratulations, Omega.
Yay.
You got one wrong.
Aw.
Congratulations, Rock.
Why, Tim?
You got one wrong.
Oh, nuts.
Congratulations, Tim. Tim got one wrong.
Tim's an
the
idiot.
The following people went 7-1. Tim, Omega, Rock, Starscream, Josh, Tommy C., Chris P., Jeff Cassidy. 6-2 was Lindsay, Jersey Girl, Michael. 6-3 was the WWE 2K16 Sim.
5-3.
Oh, I'm sorry, 5-3. Yeah.
I was wondering what extra match it had.
And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute, that's not right. Yeah.
Did you do Big Cass versus Dudley Boys just to make sure?
Just for the hell of it. Subway was 5-3. Sheila was 5-3. The Magic 8 Ball isn't all that magic. It went 4-4, 500. Country Boy and Frost also got 4-4. Mike, we're going to have to work with you a little bit.
Jesus.
You went 3-4. You were second last. The last
you got
place.
Beat by a plastic ball.
And a video game. Sim.
Fucked him.
Yeah, but that's okay. You still beat Rob, who went 2-5.
Dear God.
I got this message from him. So I hear my picks are doing bad.
Okay, who's that?
That was Rob. He said,
oh, Rob.
Sounds like my picks haven't been too shabby so far. So.
Yeah, Rob, you suck. Okay, so those are not everybody who played. I told you there was somebody who won a perfect 8-0.
Who was that, Tim?
Do you know who it was, Rock? Did you get the email? Did you read the email?
I've been looking at the email the entire time, Tim.
Okay, are you shocked?
No.
Are you surprised?
No, but we can move on because he thinks we ignore him.
Is he disappointed or stunned or anything?
No, not really.
He went 8-0.
Repeat that.
Next.
Nice. Yeah. See, we didn't ignore your picks.
What?
Yeah. He was claiming we ignored him last time. You didn't ignore them, you just posted on the one Facebook group, the intern didn't check. That's all. Like the one page, he didn't check.
So, congratulations to the Mace thing.
Yeah.
And thanks to everybody who, participated in, Extreme Rules Pick'em. We're gonna do it all over again. For what's the next one? Money in the Bank? Money in the Bank.
May do something sooner. We'll see.
Well, that's the pick 'em for Money in the Bank, right? That's the next major one.
Well, there's also a takeover, so we may also do takeover.
Well, NXT takeover, it's just like, yeah, that's a little different, but we could still do picks for takeover.
Yeah, so. But the next WWE main roster show is Money in the Bank.
So there you go.
So before we do quick hits and the all-time greatest, we should talk about what we're doing next week on the show.
It's the debut of an experiment.
It's an experiment, yes.
Okay, everybody in the chat room right now listening live, who is in the chat room, how many of you have played fantasy football, fantasy baseball, fantasy hockey, fantasy sports?
Okay, so he's waiting for the response because the new player is like 30 seconds behind. We're going to do it. We're doing with five teams, doing a whole fantasy draft next week on the show. Be Team Omega, Team Mike, Team Tim, Team Rock, Team Lindsay. Draft teams. You make point setup. We're gonna do it for about 12 weeks. See how it goes. If it actually works, it's sort of a thing. We may expand it a little bit more. Maybe get more people involved. But we're gonna try an experiment starting next week.
And that's what it is. It is WTR's WWE Fantasy.
Yeah. So the fantasy draft next week. There'll be a page on the website to keep track of everything. All the people on this show, all they have to do is show up and pick people from the WWE in this roster. That's all you gotta do. I got the rest handled. Don't worry about it.
Just like any fantasy sports game that you might play, that's how we're gonna do it.
Yeah, so there's gonna be a whole thing. Be up on the website tomorrow. Be a link on the menu. Click it. You can find all about what's going on. So that's next week's show for the most part. Next week we'll do the draft.
That's what's happening. That's the next big experiment here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yeah, since it's Memorial Day weekend, we'll have a little laid-back show. So that's what we'll do.
There you go. And speaking about long weekends, I just want to say happy Victoria Day to all the Canadian listeners, because it's the Victoria Day long weekend here in Canada. This weekend, what does that mean? It means I don't have to work tomorrow.
And in Canada, they beat the people from Finland on Victoria weekend?
Well, here it is. Team Canada won the gold medal in the International Ice Hockey Federation World Cup. That happened today. The United States had a chance to win bronze, but they got their asses handed to them by Russia. Sorry, USA.
Damn it, Putin.
Vladimir Putin made a surprise appearance. He pulled a Seth Rollins.
Oh, my.
Nobody knew he was there or anything like that, but, yeah.
He came in and bashed the guy who got the winning goal?
No, President Putin showed up. He didn't pull a complete Seth Rollins. He just pulled the surprise appearance thing.
Was he riding a bear?
No, that is so stereotypical. The bears were outside acting as security. Yeah. So congratulations, Team Canada, for winning gold. Yay!
I got nothing else, so...
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
Stop us now!
So we continue our search for the all-time greatest SummerSlam moment, hopefully leading up to SummerSlam itself. This week on the program, it is Shawn Michaels accidentally screwing The Undertaker in 1997 versus the Macho Man marrying Miss Elizabeth. Omega.
I will admit, I wish I had the time to research these beforehand. I can't go against the marriage. It's the one marriage in WWE history that actually went off without anyone getting suplexed or clotheslined or steel-chaired. Like, that's the reason you still pull, like, wedding angles in the WWE in wrestling, period, because, oh, hey, look, the first one worked.
Okay. Mike.
Short and simple, the wedding angle.
Tim?
Both of them absolutely major, massive, important storylines. And the whole Undertaker getting accidentally screwed by Shawn Michaels, well, that was all part of a bigger feud that wound up culminating in something huge at a Survivor Series in a certain city, ultimately, at the end of it. That changed the face of wrestling. It gave rise to the birth of Vince McMahon. It was the seed that sprouted the Attitude Era. That's no small potatoes. However, everybody else is right. It's the only freaking wedding angle that works in professional wrestling.
Until they actually broke up for it real.
Don't mention that.
Hey, WCW existed. They were on opposite sides. I remember my history. Saw it.
That's what I forgot to bring up. The main event's finish felt like something out of WCW. It was very NWO era, everybody running in at the same time.
Yeah. All right, so everyone says Macho Man marries Elizabeth. The fans, however, went 83% for The Undertaker being accidentally screwed by Shawn Michaels. But the Macho Man marries Miss Elizabeth, moves on. Shawn Michaels battles the bad guy Razor Ramon in Ladder Match 2, 1995, versus Brock Lesnar dominates John Cena. In 2014. Mike.
Fuck. Oh, man. To be honest, you can't beat that ladder match. I mean, it's Brock Lesnar. You already know if it's Brock Lesnar, he's dominating someone. But back then, with the ladder match, that meant something. And I think it was like the second ever ladder match, if I'm not mistaken. So I would have to go with something that cemented history. And that would be the ladder match 2.
Omega.
The ladder match was good. It's a really good match. However, I don't think I have enjoyed a squash so much in my entire life as watching Brock Lesnar obliterate the ever-loving piss out of John Cena. It was something that you didn't think you would ever see, no matter who the opponent was. And it's what set Brock as, you know, the indomitable juggernaut. Because this was Cena. This was Superman. And he just got absolutely, fucking annihilated. Like, it's one of those things where it just sends a message to everybody watching. This is the new reality. This is doomsday, and he's here to wreck shit. And he's really good at wrecking shit.
Not only did he did that, it was for the WWE Championship.
Oh yeah. He walked in, suplexed the shit out of Cena, and walked out with a title. Like he was walking to the fucking Walmart and buying the toy belt off the shelf. He made it look that easy.
So, Brock Lesnar?
Brock Lesnar.
Now, at this point, I would go to Tim. I'm not going to do that just yet. I'm going to let the fan vote count now, and then we'll throw it to Tim. Because the fan vote was 50-50. So now, I throw it to Tim.
Well, Christ, you know, Shawn Razor 1 was a bigger deal than Shawn Razor 2, in my opinion. And that's not the one going against Brock versus Cena. Brock versus Cena, that's still exceedingly fresh. As the years go by, it's going to probably stand out more. Right now, I'm not waiting for the years to go by. I'll do Brock Cena.
Okay. So, Brock Cena moves on. Next week, Randy Orton becomes the youngest world champion in 2004 versus Undertaker versus Undertaker in 1994. Bret Hart versus Owen Hart in the cage in 94. Taking on Paul Bearer, turning on the Undertaker in 96.
Getting a lot of mid-90s going here.
Yeah. That's next week in the all-time greatest. Now let's do a little bit of quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right. It's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
We'll start with Tim. Tim, you could take two insects and combine them to be one super insect. What two insects would you choose?
Oh, shit. Wasp and a black widow spider.
Why?
I don't know. It just sounds like it'd be a scary fucking thing to do.
All right, Mike, same question.
God damn it.
God damn it. My name is Mike and I say God damn it.
He also says stop it.
Shit.
Yeah. Praying Mantis and a Black Widow.
Why?
For the simple fact is that Praying Mantis, they'll kill you, but more with poison.
Praying Mantis, I've never seen one kill anybody yet.
Well, with the poison from the Black Widow.
That's cheating.
At least
mine could bite or sting you and not die. Here I thought going for like the Praying Mantis and the Black Widow because they both consume their mates in the middle of sex.
Sounds like a lot of people down here in D.C. Next question.
Omega.
Well, the question was insects and everyone's going arachnid, so I'm going with arachnids.
Works for me.
Dragonfly and Scorpion.
I only used one arachnid.
Dragonfly is an insect.
Why would you choose them? Oh my god.
Well, number one, flying fucking scorpions.
Yeah, think about it.
It's also one of the better flyers because it hover. It's one of those that can hover and just kind of dart from position to position. Okay. It's the benefit of having four wings.
All right, Tim, what was your favorite Cody Rhodes gimmick?
Wasn't Stardust. It's just Cody Rhodes.
He had many different gimmicks as Cody Rhodes, but okay. Tim doesn't know any gimmicks for him, so Mike, you're up.
That was my answer. Cody Rhodes as Cody Rhodes.
Okay.
Man of intellectual thinking when he was teaming up with Sandow.
For the Rhodes Scholars. Okay, Omega.
It was after his injury during the dashing Cody Rhodes.
With the mask and everything?
We went Phantom of the Opera with a mask, and he had people handing out paper bags to put over people's heads.
Yeah, that was good stuff. Alright, so that'll do it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night.
There we go. Back to our normal programming time next Sunday at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. Before then, tomorrow night, another edition of the Raw Post Show.
Yes, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. We'll recap everything that goes down when Seth Rollins returns to Monday Night Raw. 11:10 p.m. Eastern. It's the Raw Post Show here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, season return of The Rack with Lindsay Ward.
Did you say season return?
No, I said seize the return.
Oh, okay. Sound like season. Okay. Yes, it's another edition of The Rack Live, 10 p.m. Eastern this Thursday night. We'll recap Extreme Rules, we'll talk NXT, and all the Blame Brents and the Blame Rocks that you can handle. It's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the show on Facebook, Twitter, and.com at Rack Radio Show. It's also on YouTube, youtube.com/Rack Radio Show. It's on Google Play, iTunes, under Rack Radio Show. You can follow Lindsay on Twitter, at Lynn's Ward, and you can check out her artwork at behance.net/Lynn's Ward, same as the Twitter.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, as close as I can get to it, it's the return of CB Radio after a 1 week hiatus thanks to Miss Elizabeth and Randy Savage getting married.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh, no.
We're back, Saturday night, midnight-ish. We'll catch you up on the Blame Robs, all the weird news, all the wacky stuff. CB Radio, midnight-ish. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and.com. And when a celebrity dies, hashtag Blame Rob.
Yeah, and don't forget to follow Wild Talk Radio on the Twitter machines, at Wild Talk Radio. Follow and like one and join the other. And we're talking about the Facebook pages, facebook.com/groups/Wild Talk Radio Network, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Follow me on the Twitter machines, at Flames Forums. Find me on Facebook. Just go to facebook.com/menchefs, M-E-N-C-H-E-F-S. Omega?
Oh, my turn?
Your turn.
Yeah, everything that I do online is typically a TJ Omega. That is where you can find me over on Twitter. It is where you can find me on YouTube. It is where you can find the website at tjomega.org. But it's TJ Reviews if you're inclined to use Facebook. And regardless of where you're following, it is daily is content every single weekday and possibly daily soon if I decide to go insane.
We don't need you going insane any more than you already are.
But, but it's helped the creative process so much.
Oh God, I can only imagine that. Okay, creative process be damned. He will go insane for all of you at youtube.com/TJOmega.
Wow.
And so, for those that want, you can add me on my Twitter, the WTR Oreo. There will be a question tomorrow because there's something that I will be working on and I need some input. So, I'm going to need your input tomorrow. There will be possibly a poll or a question. So, add me on Twitter, the WTR Oreo, and you will find out.
There you go. Well, that's it. We're done. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Catch you next Sunday night for another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio.